Chapter 44. Alec, wake up. An arm twitched. Time we talked plans. He snuggled closer, more awake than he pretended. Warm, sinewy, happy. Happiness overwhelmed Morris, too. He moved, felt the answering grip, and forgot what he wanted to say. Light drifted in upon them from the outside world, where it was still raining. A strange hotel, a casual refuge, protected them from their enemies a little longer. Time to get up, boy. It's morning. Get up, then. How can I, the way you hold me? And you're a fidget. I'll learn you to fidget. He wasn't deferential anymore. The British Museum had cured that. This was Holiday London with Morris. All troubles over. And he wanted to drowse and waste time and tease and make love. Morris wanted the same. What's pleasanter? But the oncoming future distracted him. The gathering light made coziness unreal. Something had to be said and settled. Oh, for the night that was ending. For the sleep and the wakefulness, the toughness and tenderness mixed, the sweet temper, the safety in darkness. Would such a night ever return? You all right, Morris? For he had sighed. You comfortable? Rest your head on me more, the way you like more. That's it, more. And don't you worry. You're with me. Don't worry. Yes, he was in luck, no doubt of it. Scudder had proved honest and kind. He was lovely to be with. A treasure, a charmer, a find in a thousand, the longed-for dream. But was he brave? Nice, you and me, like this. The lips so close now that it was scarcely speech. Who'd have thought? First time I ever seed you, I thought. Wish I and that one. Just like that. Wouldn't I and him? And it is so. Yes, and that's why we've got to fight. Who wants to fight? He sounded annoyed. There's been enough fighting. All the world's against us. We've got to pull ourselves together and make plans while we can. What do you want to go and say a thing like that for and spoil it all? Because it has to be said. We can't allow things to go wrong and hurt us again the way they did down at Penge. Alec suddenly scrubbed at him with the sun-roughened back of a hand and said, That hurt, didn't it? Or oughter. That's how I fight. It did hurt a little. And stealing into the foolery was a sort of resentment. Don't talk to me about Penge, he went on. Oh, ma, Penge, where I was always a servant, and Scudder do this, and Scudder do that, and the old lady. What do you think she once said? She said, Oh, would you most kindly of your goodness post this letter for me? What's your name? What's your name? Every day for 6 months I come up to Clive's bloody front porch door for orders, and his mother don't know my name. She's a bitch. I said to her, What's your name? Fuck your name. I nearly did, too. Wish I had, too. Morris, you wouldn't believe how servants get spoken to. It's too shocking for words. That Archie London you're so set on is just as bad. And so are you. So are you. Oh, my man, and all that. You've no idea how you nearly missed getting me. Near as nothing. I never climbed that ladder when you called. You don't want me, really. And I went flaming mad when you didn't turn up at the boathouse as I ordered. 2 grand. We'll see. Boathouse was a place I always fancied. I'd go down for a smoke before I'd ever heard of you. Unlock it easy. Got the key on me still, as a matter of fact. Boathouse. Looking over the pond from the boathouse. Very quiet. Now and then a fish jump. And cushions the way I arrange them. He was silent, having chattered himself out. He had begun rough and gay and somehow factitious. Then his voice had died away into sadness, as though truth had risen to the surface of the water and was unbearable. "'We'll meet in your boathouse yet,' Morris said. "'No, we won't.' He pushed him away, then heaved, pulled him close, put forth violence, and embraced as if the world was ending. "'You'll remember that, anyway.' He got out and looked down out of the greyness, his arms hanging empty. It was as if he wished to be remembered thus. "'I could easily have killed you.' "'Or I you. "'Where's my clothes and that gone?' He seemed dazed. It's so late. I ain't got a razor even. I didn't reckon staying the night. I got to catch a train at once or Fred'll be thinking things. Let him. My goodness, if Fred seed you and me just now. Well, he didn't. Well, he might have. What I mean is, tomorrow's Thursday, isn't it? Friday's the packing. Saturday the Normania sails from Southampton, so it's goodbye to old England. You mean the that you and I shan't meet again after now.
That's right, you've got it quite correct.
And if it wasn't still raining, wet morning after yesterday's downpour, wet on the roofs and the museum, at home and on the greenwood. Controlling himself and choosing his words very carefully, Morris said,
"This is just what I want to talk about. Why don't we arrange it so as we do meet again?"
"How do you mean?"
"Why don't you stay on in England?"
Alec whizzed round, terrified. Half naked, he seemed also half human.
"Stay?" he snarled. "Miss my boat? Are you daft? Of all the bloody rubbish I ever heard, ordering me about again, eh, you would?"
"It's a chance in a thousand we've met. We'll never have the chance again, and you know it. Stay with me. We love each other."
"I dare say, but that's no excuse to act silly. Stay with you, and how and where? What'd your ma say if she saw me all rough and ugly the way I am?"
"She never will see you. I shan't live at my home."
"Where will you live?"
"With you."
"Oh, will you? No, thank you. My people wouldn't take to you one bit, and I don't blame them. And how do you run your job, I'd like to know?"
"I shall chuck it."
"Your job in the city, what gives you your money and position? You can't chuck a job."
"You can when you mean to," said Morris, gently. "You can do anything once you know what it is." He gazed at the greyish light that was becoming yellowish. Nothing surprised him in this talk. What he could not conjecture was its outcome. "I shall get work with you," he brought out. The moment to announce this had now come.
"What work?"
"We'll find out."
"Find out and starve out?"
"No. There'll be enough money to keep us while we have a look round. I'm not a fool, nor are you. We won't be starving. I thought out that much while I was awake in the night and you weren't." There was a pause. Alec went on more politely.
"Wouldn't work, Morris. Ruin of us both. Can't you see? You same as myself?"
"I don't know. Might be. Mightn't.
Class.
I don't know. I know what we do today. We clear out of here and get a decent breakfast, and we go down to Penge, or whatever you want, and see that Fred of yours. You tell him you've changed your mind about emigrating and are taking a job with Mr. Hall instead. I'll come with you. I don't care. I'll see anyone, face anything. If they want to guess, let them. I'm fed up. Tell Fred to cancel your ticket. I'll repay for it. And that's our start of getting free. Then we'll do the next thing. It's a risk, so's everything else, and we'll only live once." Alec laughed cynically and continued to dress. His manner resembled yesterday's, though he didn't blackmail.
"Yours is the talk of someone who's never had to earn his living," he said. "You sort of trap me with I love you or whatever it is, and then offer to spoil my career. Do you realize I've got a definite job awaiting me in the Argentine, same as you've got here? Pity the Normania's leaving Saturday. Still, facts is facts, isn't it? All my kit bought as well as my ticket, and Fred and wife expecting me."
Morris saw through the brassiness to the misery behind it, but this time what was the use of insight? No amount of insight would prevent the Normania from sailing. He had lost. Suffering was certain for him, though it might soon end for Alec. When he got out to his new life, he would forget his escapade with a gentleman, and in time he would marry. Shrewd, working-class youngster who knew where his interests lay, he had already crammed his graceful body into his hideous blue suit. His face stuck out of it red, his hands brown. He plastered his hair flat.
"Well, I'm off," he said, and as if that wasn't enough, said, "Pity we ever met, really, if you come to think of it."
"That's all right, too," said Morris, looking away from him as he unbolted the door.
"You paid for this room in advance, didn't you, so he won't stop me downstairs? I don't want no unpleasantness to finish with."
"That's all right, too." He heard the door shut and he was alone. He waited for the beloved to return. Inevitable, that wait. Then his eyes began to smart, and he knew from experience what was coming. Presently he could control himself. He got up and went out, did some telephoning and explanations, placated his mother, apologized to his host, got himself shaved and trimmed up, and attended the office as usual. Matters of work awaited him. Nothing had changed in his life. Nothing remained in it. He was back with his loneliness as it had been before Clive, as it was after Clive, and would now be forever. He had failed. And that wasn't the saddest. He had seen Alec fail. In a way, they were one person. Love had failed. Love was an emotion through which you occasionally enjoyed yourself. It could not do things.